Welcome to season 4 of Sorting Pin, the California Cattleman podcast. I'm your host, Katie Roberti, and CCA's Director of Communications. Whether you've been listening to this podcast for years or this is the very first episode you've turned on, I'm excited to get to sort through the issues and events impacting California's ranching families and producers again with you this year. Tune in every other Monday for new episodes and follow our brand new Facebook page, Sorting Pin, for more. Welcome back to Sorting Pin, the California Cattleman podcast. Thanks for joining us for another episode. If you missed our last episode, go check it out. I had a conversation with John Estelle, who is our newest second vice president on CCA's officer team. He's a rancher in San Diego County and brings a unique perspective to our leadership team. So if you missed that episode, definitely go check it out. You'll enjoy hearing from John and learning more about what he does down in the southern part of the state. Since that episode, something we've been watching closely, and I'm sure many of our listeners have been following, is the news of dairy cattle testing positive for highly pathogenic avian influenza for the first time. A little bit of an update on that and backing up a little bit. So on March 25th, USDA announced that dairy cattle in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico had contracted the virus. Since then, almost 3 weeks later, dairy cattle in 7 states as of this time of recording have tested positive. One person did become ill after reportedly working closely with sick cattle, but is recovering. The good news is it's not a food safety concern. At this time, no beef cattle have been impacted, and there's been no cases in California. So wanted to throw all that out at the beginning because that is all very good news. That said, we still thought it'd be timely to talk on this podcast with an expert about the development of the virus crossing over into dairy cattle. And just an important time to give California beef producers and our listeners an update from a veterinarian. So joining me to have this conversation and talk through what you should know as a producer and some of the current concerns and more is Dr. Tom Talbot, who is a veterinarian and cattle rancher in Bishop, California. He's also a past CCA president and still a very active member in CCA. So we appreciate all Tom does and are glad to have him on the phone today. Thanks for taking the time, Tom.
Well, thank you, Katie. Thanks for having me. You know, I think, as you've mentioned, this is a timely topic. Fortunately, I'm not terribly concerned about it impacting the beef industry, but there's definitely some things that we need to talk about and let our members know about and at least be aware of the disease.
The place I wanted to start was kind of just what we know about avian influenza. I know other mammals have become ill with the virus, but this was a first for cattle. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and want to start there?
You know, just about the time you think you've seen everything, something new shows up. And that's where we are with this disease. You know, several weeks ago, we had a mysterious illness that showed up in a number of dairy cattle in some of the states that you mentioned previously. And it took a significant amount of time to actually figure out what was causing the problem. You know, there was enough dairies involved, enough cows involved, that it was definitely an issue. You know, it took quite a while before they were able to diagnose the disease. And at some point here a few weeks ago, they were able to identify the high pathogenic avian influenza virus in cows. Primarily, the easiest place they found it is in milk, but they were able to find this and then basically attribute these signs and symptoms back to this disease. And as you mentioned, it does affect other species. Primarily, it's a disease of birds. It's a serious disease of birds. And in commercial flocks, when they contract the disease, they have to depopulate. But unfortunately, the major issue we have is that it's in the wild bird population. And obviously, that's an extremely difficult situation to control. And that's more than likely where the source of this disease has come from in these dairies. In these dairies where they've had the disease, they've found a number of dead birds. And so the contact between cattle and birds is more than likely where it came from. They do feel there's a slight possibility that it's transmitted from cow to cow, but much more likely from bird to cow. Again, birds are the primary species for this. I think they've identified it in a goat, but this outbreak was the first time it was truly identified in cattle.
Yeah, I'm glad you backed up and mentioned that we were monitoring this and people were making CCA staff aware of it before we even knew what it was. So there was kind of a week or 10 days there where everyone was a little on pins and needles wondering what it was. I'm wondering specifically, did you ever see this coming? I know in our industry we're used to surprises, but was it ever talked about it getting to cattle, or was a pretty big surprise for you having studied it and been more up on the topic than other people?
You know, I think it was a real surprise. In fact, when I heard that they had identified this as, you know, caused by this specific virus, I wanted to question the researchers to say, did you just happen to find the virus in a cow, and was there a cause and effect? In other words, were you able to directly, you know, link the virus in the animal to the disease in the animal? And apparently they have, but for me, it was a real surprise. I guess, as we know, that influenza viruses do mutate. All viruses, they do mutate. So I guess when you look at this from a realistic standpoint, the fact that it did become an issue in cattle is probably not all that surprising. Definitely not something we were hoping for, but not all that surprising.
So it is more of a concern right now for dairy farmers. And I was just reading an article this morning that was talking about how dairy farms are like a buffet for birds with all the feed they have. It's very different than beef cattle. So can we talk a little bit about why the concern is more for dairy farmers right now? And then is there a concern about it making its way to beef cattle?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, the number of birds that do congregate on a dairy farm certainly is dramatically different than in a beef cattle operation. Although, you know, in our operation, it seems like we see more and more ravens and crows and other birds today than we ever used to. But in the dairy farms, there's, you know, their birds are seeking the grain and stuff like that. So that is definitely an issue. From a beef cattle standpoint, I mean, we have to go back and look at this thing and realize that high path avian influenza has been around for a long time. It's been around in California. You know, there's flocks of birds in California, the commercial flocks that have been depopulated. So, you know, it's not new that this virus has come about. It's been around a long time. The real question is just exactly why did it all of a sudden, you know, had it just mutated to be able to affect cows, or exactly what happened? Or are there special circumstances that allowed tremendous exposure, you know, high amounts of exposure to the dairy cows? And so when I look at this from a beef cattle standpoint, at least what we see today, I don't get very alarmed for it. In the dairy cows, in these dairies that have been affected, they're only talking about 10% of the cow, of the actual cow herd has been infected. And so, you know, in these big dairies, that's a lot of cows. But, you know, in the average beef cow herd, you know, when you say anywhere from, say, 100 to 1,000 cows, 10%, you know, could be significant. But it's not like being in a dairy situation where you've got, you know, this many gallons of milk being manufactured every day and all of a sudden it drops dramatically. You know, from my standpoint, the clinical signs of the disease, which are very primarily in the dairy industry, they're a drop in milk production. You know, there's a loss of appetite, you know, maybe a fever, but primarily it's just a drop in milk production. And it's temporary. It seems to last a relatively short time, maybe 10 to 14 days, which not real short, but, and then these cows seem to recover. You know, as best I know, there's no mortality in the dairy industry. We've not seen dead animals, just simply reduction in production. So, you know, in the beef industry, you know, it's hard to know whether we would even, maybe in a lot of cases, recognize the clinical signs. I mean, would we recognize if the milk production dropped for a short period of time? That kind of thing. So those issues, I'm not real concerned about it in the beef industry. That the fact our cows are spread out, you know, you're not going to have contact. Even if you have significant dead birds on a beef cattle operation, you're not going to have the intense contact with them that you would on a dairy.
I mean, it's just very different, as we all know. We don't see our cows every day like dairy farmers do. So like you said, it would probably be hard to catch. And they're not all fed in the same area unless they're in corrals or something. So on the range, I see what you're saying. It would probably not even be caught and not spread like it would on a dairy farm. As far as what CDFA and other government agencies are doing, how do they monitor a situation like this? Are there restrictions for moving cattle in California, in and out of California? Are they also not as concerned about it? What are you hearing kind of from CDFA, and what do you know about situations like this from other outbreaks?
You know, we've been engaged with CDFA on this issue. We've had a couple of different meetings with CDFA as part of the Cattle Health Task Force. And they are concerned. They're very concerned. You know, obviously, the dairy industry in California is huge. But they are monitoring the situation. They're monitoring it with the help of state veterinarians from the other states where these animals are affected. And one of the issues, they, you know, in some states, their state veterinarians are very, very forthcoming with information. Other states, they're not nearly as forthcoming. So that has been an issue. But they are engaged with the state veterinarians, they're engaged with the federal health officials, anybody that's involved in trying to diagnose and manage this situation, they are involved, engaged, and they're monitoring it. What CDFA has chose to do, it's in states where the disease is present. They have chosen to reduce the number of days between a veterinary inspection and the time when cattle can be shipped out of that state on dairy cattle and dairy cattle only. And we worked very hard to make sure that they didn't throw any restrictions on beef cattle, at least until, you know, unless things changed. But right now, it used to be that a veterinarian could see these cattle, I believe it was within 14 days or something of shipping. Now they've reduced it to 7 days. So if a veterinarian has to examine these animals and then those animals have to be shipped within 7 days, there's a statement that the veterinarian has to put on the health certificate, which states that these cattle are not from a premises that is affected by the high path avian influenza and virus. And so, you know, just making it, you know, trying to monitor a little more closely and actually not taking animals that have been affected by the high path avian influenza virus. So they are trying to be more diligent, inspecting on checking in health certificates on trucks as they come across state lines. Most of these trucks, when they come into California, they have to go to an inspection station. And most of those inspection stations are more worried about fruits and vegetables, but they have increased the surveillance and made sure that these people look for the health certificate from the trucker, make sure that it has the proper statements. And if they don't, they will let them into the state, but they will make sure that a state official does inspect those cattle out on their destination. They are required, I think, to be quarantined until somebody's able to inspect them on arrival, you know, where their destination is. So they are very concerned, but to this point in time, you know, just have made some changes on the imports of cattle. There's no regulations at this point on any, and no change in regulations on any cattle leaving California. Only cattle coming into California from states that are affected by the virus.
And this isn't something new. They're just changed the amount of time for the health inspection. It's only 7 days where it was longer before.
Exactly. And, you know, we had this situation when California had vesicular stomatitis this past summer. These were the same regulations that states put on California cattle leaving California and go to other states. So what California has done is nothing new. It has just decreased that time frame so that, you know, so that the veterinarian, when they look at them and they say they're healthy, you know, they get them the heck out of there and don't give them a chance to hopefully become infected or get sick.
It's good to be proactive and have defenses like that. Kind of what I've been reading and hearing is there's not a huge reason to panic right now. Just take precautions and do,
you know, it's interesting.
Can.
Yeah, when this thing first started, we were getting communication. I don't know, it seemed like we were getting a large number of communications from various places about this disease, and it's interesting. I think in the last week or two, I haven't even hardly seen anything about it. So I think the incidence of the disease is declining. I think you know, the number of affected premises in these states that are affected, I think that is declining. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's just not getting the media coverage and the stuff that it once was. So I'm pretty certain that things are backing off rather than getting worse. And say one thing that you already said, Katie, and that is that there is no human risk from this virus, either in milk or in meat. And so consumers have nothing to fear about continuing, not advocating for the dairy industry, but continuing to drink milk and eat meat, no risk to them at all. So that's a good thing. And again, you know, as I've said, the incidence of death in these cattle has been virtually zero. You know, something to be worried about, but I think we don't, you know, we just need to monitor it. If we see things unusual, maybe on our operations, might be something to call your veterinarian and have them examined. But I wouldn't expect to see much.
A media standpoint, I think it kind of has dropped off as far as talking about beef cattle. And maybe that is partially because it is much more impactful for the poultry plants and poultry producers facing illnesses on their operations. I've seen the kind of media attention turn away from beef, which is good news for our side of the industry.
You know, there was one thing I was going to say, and that is, you know, this virus, it kills birds, and that's why the poultry industry has been so devastated by it. You know, it kills birds, and it kills wild birds. Like I said, the good news is in livestock, goats and cattle where we've seen it, is, you know, there is no mortality to it. So I feel for the poultry industry when they get something like this. It's a bad deal.
It is a bad deal. And I think even at our mid-year, when we were talking about the virus you were just talking about in California, CDFA wasn't able to come because they were so busy dealing with the poultry impacts from avian influenza. So definitely feel for them. And fortunate for us that we're not having to deal with that on our side. Well, I think we want to keep this episode short just so that people can kind of get the mainline topics and walk away feeling a little better, hopefully, about the beef side of it. Is there anything else you want to touch on, Tom?
No, I don't think so. I think you've covered it really well in the fact that we will monitor this. We're in very close contact with CDFA. We're in close contact with, all the other major cattle organizations out there that are monitoring this too. And if there's anything changes, we're certainly going to get the information out to our membership.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and your willingness to be on the task force. I know that probably takes some of your time as well. So thanks for always being giving of your time and willing to share with us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, Katie, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. To all our listeners, we hope to see you at our mid-year meeting. Our registration just went live a couple weeks ago. If you haven't heard yet, this year we're doing something fun in conjunction with mid-year. If you buy a full registration, you will get a ticket to attend the Reno Rodeo's Wednesday night performance. So there'll be a huge group of CCA members and attendees going to the rodeo together that night. So make sure you check it out because it is first come, first serve on those tickets. They're limited number. So be sure to get registered as soon as possible and get all the details there. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to have episodes with some market updates, another episode with a legislator talking about working with CCA. So stay tuned for those episodes and thanks for listening.